In your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is what ignited my quest to know, to understand, and to operate in the supernatural manifestation gifts of the Holy Ghost. Tonight we'll continue our Gateway series on the supernatural manifestation gifts. My subject tonight is the Word of Knowledge in the New Testament. This is part 5 of the Gateway series. Pastor Rick is doing a body ministry series while I'm doing the Gateway series into the gifts. And I did part 4 last week. It was the Word of Knowledge in the Old Testament. So tonight I'm breaking it out into the New Testament. The baptism in the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues is the gateway into the gifts. The baptism in the Holy Ghost, it is not the apex experience as many Pentecostal people believe, but it is the gateway. It's the entrance into the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. These have been called supernatural surprises of the Holy Ghost. I like that because the Holy Ghost, like my mother used to say, he's like a big surprise package, and you don't know what he's going to do next. And that's why they're called the manifestation gifts. He manifests these gifts, and he alone can do that. And what he's doing is showing what Jesus paid for at the cross. And so we have the manifestation gifts, the supernatural surprises of the Holy Ghost. My subject tonight, the Word of Knowledge in the New Testament. This is part 5 in the Gateway series. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and mercy. Thank you on how you have graced this place tonight with your presence. And Lord, there is none like you. And we're so glad our names are written down in glory. We're so glad you've broken every chain. And Lord, you left us here to use your name, to use the gifts of the Spirit and break chains of darkness off of people. So God, as we come in tonight and if we enter into your word, illuminate our hearts, illuminate our minds, teach us, Holy Ghost, as only you can do. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. The gifts of the Holy Ghost, they are related to destiny. And it is time for the gifts to operate in the total church. The gifts, they are the weapons of our warfare. And God has given us these weapons to fight with. So we're in a warfare. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life. He could have said, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of divine healing. Or lay hold of God's miracle working power. Or lay hold of what God has prepared for you. But fight the good fight of faith. Because there's a real devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, that's all right. Don't get me mixed up with him. I have come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. That's a good place to go and praise him right there. Hallelujah. I've got life and I've got life more abundantly because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, look at what it says. Because this is what ignited my quest to know about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. When I read that, I said, oh, God, the church is so ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. So I've studied them. I've spent my lifetime studying. And so I want to make an impartation and to teach the church because God gives us things as ministers so we can pass them on to others and empower the church. That's part of my assignment. It's not just to get people saved. It is to get people empowered to teach and to equip the church so they can do the works of God. Now, when we operate in the gifts of the Spirit, we are operating in faith. But for these wonderful, mighty gifts to function, you must yield yourself to God in faith. Let me say that again. If you don't yield yourself to God in faith, you won't ever receive the baptism. If you don't yield yourself in faith to God, you won't ever operate in the gifts. Now, we're not studying the gifts of healing tonight, but I'm going to read you this because it's a text I got from one of our members. I went out on pray.com. Tammy Duvall had posted this. She said, pray this migraine I've had since Sunday morning completely goes away. That's her prayer. Now, there were 7 people that prayed for her, including myself. But then I went back and I posted this. I rebuke that migraine in the name of Jesus and release God's healing power. Be healed. That's all I wrote. But I felt led of the Spirit. I went back by faith, and I believed if I sent that God would do a mighty miracle. I was not shocked when I got this today. because I heard the voice of the Spirit. And if you're going to operate in gifts, you will have to hear the voice of the Spirit, and then you'll have to operate in faith at the same time, because faith worketh by love. So you're going to have to love people. You're going to have to see their hurts, their pains, their sorrows, their griefs, everything that's going on. And you have to have the heart of Jesus Christ. You have to pray till you get that, because Paul said that who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, and the Amplified Version says we do hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. So what did he purpose? He purposed that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So if we're going to function and flow in the gifts, we have to do it by faith. Here's what Sister Tammy wrote back. Hey, Pastor, I wanted to take a minute and say thank you for the prayer you prayed yesterday about my migraine on Pray app. The minute I read the prayer up there on the app, my head stopped hurting. 3 days I had this horrible migraine. Cameron and Michaela, this is their children now, were amazed that it stopped when I read the prayer from you on an app. God is good. Now, I prayed what I felt the Spirit leading me to pray. I wrote it down. But look at the people that had already prayed. If you can ever see this, and God showed it to me years ago, when one person prays and another person prays and another person, it's like a train going up a hill. And one person is praying, somebody else prays, and prayer moves the hand of God, but not just my prayer, but our prayers corporately. And so when you have a gifting and you operate in the gift and someone else has prayed, it makes it so easy for your gift to operate. You just listen to what the Spirit says, and then you speak it. Do you have any word, Pastor, that you could put something on an app like that and a person be healed? Yeah, put Psalms 107, verse 20 up there. Psalms 107, verse 20. Psalms 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them. And then it goes on and saying, deliver them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. So you see how praise, we've been praising God tonight, how the gifts and how the word and how your faith and how love, it all works together to bring about the manifestations of the gifts, because God is love. Amen. So we must operate in faith and in love to operate, and also in unity to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. But we have to yield ourselves to God. That's how the gifts operate. You have to believe that the things you are doing and the things that you are saying, that they are from God. But you must first hear from God if you're going to move in the Spirit with power and with blessing. You've got to hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Are you in the church? Well, he's going to speak expressly to you then. So tune your ear in. The more scripture you learn, the more you study the word of God, the easier it will be for you to hear the voice of the Lord. Matter of fact, the more you read the word and the more you live the word, the more it becomes a lifestyle. It's not something you're struggling to become. Become more son conscious than you are sin conscious, and you'll move into a realm with God that you have never known. Amen. But you've got to hear from God. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 8, talking about the gifts. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now look at verse 10. To another, discerning of spirits. Now, if you look on your handout sheet, the 9 manifestation gifts, I want you to bring this every time. We'll hand out new ones at the door. We want you to have it in your hands. These are the 3 revelational gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. So we're taking these 9 manifestation gifts, we're putting them into categories. These are categories that Lester Sumrall used. These definitions are Lester Sumrall's definition. I've studied Owen Wesson. I've studied all types of people on the gifts. But I can promise you, the gifts have functioned as they have functioned in my life. Lester Sumrall's definitions, they work. They're very, very accurate. So in our last lesson, we saw that how the word of knowledge functioned in the Old Testament. We know that knowledge is related to facts. And if something is known, it is not a mystery, because knowledge is related to facts. So we're dealing in a supernatural realm here. So the gift of the word of knowledge is when God reveals facts to one of his servants. Look at the definition there. It says the discerning of the word of knowledge is the revealing of a fact in experience which cannot be seen or heard or revealed naturally. So we know that knowledge is related to facts. So the gift of the word of knowledge is when God reveals something to you. This is something your ears have not heard. Nobody told you, not a person anyway. Your eyes have not seen this. It's something that is revealed to you supernaturally. Normally, the word of knowledge, as well as the other gifts, they have something to do with meeting the emergencies of life. So if you're going to operate in these gifts, most of the time, somebody's got a tremendous need, and it's that gift is to operate through the body to meet those emergencies in life. Last week, we looked at several examples of the word of knowledge in the Old Testament. But you'll probably be more excited how these gifts function in the New Testament, because this is closer to our day, and it's a dispensation of grace in which we live. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus operated in the gifts of the Spirit. This blows some people away, but Jesus performed his earthly ministry as a man who was anointed by the Holy Ghost. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He is the God-man. He's 100% God. He's 100% man. But he operated in his earthly ministry as the Son of Man. He loved to call himself the Son of Man. And look at this right here, Acts 10:38. It tells how Jesus operated. See, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Didn't say Jesus Christ. Christ is the Logos, the Eternal One, the Ancient of Days. He's been there all the time. Jesus is brand new. He's the baby that was born in the manger. So how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed. Look at that word, oppressed. You stay oppressed long enough, it'll go into depression. You stay depressed long enough, it'll go into vexation. And if you go that far down, you're going to have a man of God or woman of God come with some anointing and power, reach inside of you and lift that thing out of you. Because the devil, his works have a downward progressive path. God's works always live. Amen. Isn't that easy? So easy to tell what spirit you're dealing with. But God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God, as the Father, anointed Jesus as the Son with the Holy Ghost. That's the Trinity, right? That went and got out of that verse. Who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus operated in the gifts of the Spirit as the Son of Man. That's what I want you to see. Had he operated as the Son of God, it would be impossible for us to do the same works that he did. It would be impossible for us to do the greater works that he left the church to do. So Jesus operated in the gifts of the Holy Ghost so that you and I, after he was resurrected, put his blood on the mercy seat, earned the right from the Father to send the Holy Ghost to the church, that his church could operate in the gifts of the Spirit. So I want you to see how God the Father sent Jesus the Son. Jesus the Son went back after he paid redemption's price, put his blood on the mercy seat, sent the Holy Ghost to the church so the church could do what he did. So we're to operate as Jesus operated. Aren't you glad that you're just like Jesus? You are a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God. Go on and praise him, that your name is written down in heaven. You are who God said you are. You have what God said you have, and you can do what God said you can do, because you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Hallelujah. He's the Logos, the Eternal One. Now look at John chapter 1. We find Jesus here operating in the gift of revelation. Look at John 1:47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." He saw him coming and told him that. Jesus discerned Nathanael's spirit. "Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile." Now, this was the gift of discernment, which we're going to study later. But look at the revelational gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. So see how the prophetic flows together? A seer, he saw. Jesus operated as a prophet, as a king, as a priest. David operated as a prophet, king, and priest. But you won't find anybody else that I can tell you in the Bible that did. David was this man after God's own heart in the old dispensation. But Jesus was this prophet. And the gift of discerning of spirits, look at your definition there. Discerning of spirits. It has to do with the comprehension of the human spirit as supernaturally revealed by the Holy Ghost. So how did Jesus know? Jesus is operating as a man now. So how did he know the spirit of Nathanael? The same way he knows your spirit. The same way he knows my spirit. He knows whether or not you've prayed. He knows what you're thinking. He knows you're lying down. He knows you're rising up. He knows if you're the real deal or not. You can con some people, but I promise you one thing, you won't ever con God. Amen. He's a good God, though. And Jesus discerned the spirit. See, this was the gift operating in Jesus. Jesus looked right into the heart of Nathanael and said, there is a man with a pure heart. When Jesus looks at your heart, when he looks at my heart, does he say, there's a person with a pure heart? Does he see that? I mean, we have to ask ourselves these questions. David said, search me, O God, and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want all of God I can get, because there's a real devil, and there are people hurting. We do know the thoughts and feelings and hold the purposes of his heart. And we're sent here just like Jesus was sent. We're sent to set the captive free and to break every chain. Do you believe that? And go and praise God for it. Hallelujah. See, Jesus knew all of this about Nathanael through the gifts of the Spirit. Now, Nathanael asked Jesus, he said, how do you know me, or where do you know me from? And Jesus answered and said, when Philip was looking for you, I saw you under the fig tree. This was the gift of the word of knowledge. He saw him supernaturally. He couldn't see him, you know, under the tree there, but before Philip ever called Nathanael, Jesus saw him. He was under the fig tree where no one could see him. So how did Jesus know he was there? This is the gift of the word of knowledge. Jesus saw him supernaturally through this gift. And it made a believer and a disciple out of Nathanael. I tell you, when the gifts get to operating, they will turn the world upside down. That's what excites me so much about the gifts. Another example, let's look at John chapter 4 when Jesus, he met a Samaritan woman at the well. He asked her for a drink of water, and she said, how could you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink of water? For the Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were an outcast people. They were half-breeds. They were Jews mixed up with the Assyrians, and so they were shunned. You know, I just thought about it. We can't say half-breed in our culture, can we? But that's what that person was. A Samaritan was a half-breed. And, you know, that's people, you're either of a pure race or you're not of a pure race. But we love everybody, and God loves everybody. But, you know, we got a culture that's gone crazy that you can't even say what things are. You know, I'm a white man. We got some black people. We got some Hispanic people. That doesn't cast an aspersion on anyone. We're all created equal in God's sight. And no soul ever got here without God purposing it. God told Jeremiah, he said, I saw you before you were in your mother's womb. So there are people, millions of people can't have babies. So if you got here, doesn't matter how you got here. If you got here, God gave you life. It comes from God. So God loves everybody. So let me get that straight. Hallelujah. Before he left that place, though, he told this Samaritan woman, he said, I've got some living water I want to give you. Now listen to the word of God. Listen, John 4:11. This woman saith unto him, sir, that has nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then has this living water? So we read the Bible, and we don't see these gifts. So that's my purpose in teaching this. I want you to see that the gifts of the Spirit are operating, and they operate in your life like that. They operate in my life like that. But if we don't know it, if we don't have knowledge of what has happened, we won't understand. We will be ignorant. And Paul said, I do not want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. So look at verse 11, John 4:11. The woman saith unto him, sir, that has nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence has this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and the children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, this natural water, shall thirst again. Verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. That's Zoe, the God of life, the life of God, Zoe. You are supernaturally infused with life. You have been born again by God's Spirit. Hallelujah. You have the very life and the substance of God. You're connected to the true vine. The power that's in the vine is in you. The glory that's in the vine is in you. The anointing that's in the vine is in you. The mind that's in the vine is in you. You are connected to omnipotence. Turn him loose and watch God work. Go and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus wanted her to give the living water to her, but before he could do that, he had to deal with her sin. So Jesus just goes to the crux of the matter. He told her, go get your husband. And the woman answered and said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus told her, you have told the truth. You don't have a husband. But you had five, and the man that you're living with right now, you're not even married to him. See, people were living together that weren't married long ago. It was sin back then, and it's sin now. It will always be sin, and sin has a downward progressive path. So it was sin in Jesus' day. Now, look at verse 25 here. See, when this woman realized that Jesus was the Messiah, she took one drink of water. Now, listen to this. John 4:25. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. See, he was a sinner, shacking up, living with someone outside of marriage. Yet she was looking for an answer. She was looking for fulfillment. She knew she was a sinner. She said, we know Messiah's coming. And when he comes, said, he will tell us all things. He's going to tell me how to get out of this mess I'm in. And Jesus said unto her, look at verse 26. I that speak unto thee am he. Isn't that beautiful? Did you ever hear him speak to you? Sure you have. He's the one that spoke to you through the Spirit and said, surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus. You know, so many people in the church, they never surrender their lives to his Lordship. They get saved, and that's about as far as they go. But, you know, Lordship means that he is Lord of everything. That means that I have to let him have all of me. I can't withhold any of myself. And the more I give to him, the more he gives to me. The more I serve him, the sweeter it gets. I tell you what, I love what I do. I don't do it out of duty. I do it because I love what I do. I love it. And I praise God for the call on my life. When this woman realized that Jesus was the Messiah, she took one drink of that living water. She gave her heart to Jesus. She went running through the city. She went out witnessing, saying, come see a man. Come see a man that told me all the things I ever did. This is the gift of the word of knowledge right here. Come see a man. He told me all that I've ever... Jesus operated in that gift and just read her mail. He told her everything about herself through the word of knowledge. And Jesus knew the facts. He knew fact after fact after fact. And he revealed those facts to that woman. He's operating in the gifts of the Spirit. The same Holy Ghost that he sent to the church. So we would not be ignorant. He's the great teacher. Oh, I love to teach, but he's the teacher, not me. He just takes human vessels. He said, I'm looking for a vessel of honor, someone sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared for every good work. I want to send you out. I've got a work for you to do. And then he puts a pastor in the pulpit. He gives him wisdom. He gives him knowledge. He gives him giftings. And then he sends him to equip the saints. And that's the way it's supposed to work. So pray for me, because the more I get, the more I can give. That's just the way it works. I can't give what I don't have. So pray for me, because even the Apostle Paul, he said, pray for me. He would write to the churches, pray for me. He knew the power of prayer, that it moved the hand of God. But he was a prayer. He didn't just count on everybody else to do the praying for him. This man sought God. He was a God chaser. So Jesus knew fact after fact about this woman. She went, got the whole city, and brought them to Jesus. They had revival there in Samaria. That's what the gifts of the Spirit will do. When you get the gift of the Spirit functioning, it will bring a movement of souls like you have never known before. That's why I'm praying for more and more. Have you noticed how people are coming here getting saved? People are coming getting blessed. It's not because of anything but the Holy Ghost, the power. Well, we got all the bells and whistles, and we do everything they tell us to do. But I'm not counting on bells and whistles. I'm not counting on mental acumen. I'm not counting on my giftings. I'm not counting on my personality. There are a lot of things about me I don't even like. I'm counting on the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I'm counting on Him. Go on and praise Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Hallelujah. Now, when the gifts function, sinners are saved, and it becomes a very exciting and wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Now, in the books of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, we find an amazing account of the gift of the word of knowledge. There was a man named Cornelius. He was of the Italian band, and in Caesarea, he was praying. This man was a good man. He wanted to get saved, but he didn't know how to be saved. Some people say, well, he was saved. No, he wasn't saved. If you read Acts 10 and go to Acts chapter 11, it says, get this man, he will tell you words. When Peter recounted words whereby you and your household may be saved. So he was not saved. So let's get that point out there. So this man, he's praying. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Cornelius and told him. Now watch this. This is an angel operating in the gift of the word of knowledge. Supernatural beings. Huh. You can find them all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, giving facts and direction. The angel of the Lord appeared to Cornelius and told him, down in Joppa, there's a man named Simon Peter. He's staying with a man named Simon the Tanner. His house is by the seaside. Send for Simon, and he will tell you words that you need to hear. So this was the gift of the word of knowledge, and that gift was operating through an angel. Look at Acts 10 and 1. Put it up there, please. Acts 10 and 1 and following. I'll read it to you. I want you to just see what I'm talking about. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band of the Italian band, a devout man. He was devout. One that feared God with all his heart, which gave much alms. He was a giver. He prayed to God. He was a Gentile. He was not in the Jew. He was not a Jew. He was not in covenant. He just wanted to be in covenant. He saw in a vision. So now this gift is coming in a vision. Evidently about the ninth hour of the day, the angel of God coming to him. So here's an angel coming, saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. I'd be afraid too. You know, I'm not afraid of much, but if you saw a great big angel standing there shining like the noonday sun, just stepped out of God's presence, you know, woo, the glory all over him. It might put a little fear. I'm sure it would put some reverence in your heart anyway. He said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms, your prayers, oh my God, you mean prayers? God has heard your prayers? You mean God hears me when I pray and God hears when I don't pray? Sure, he knows the thoughts and intents. You're lying down, you're rising up. Your praying and your alms, you're giving. You mean God sees me when I pray, pay my tithe? God sees me when I give to missions? God saw it tonight. You didn't see it. I gave missionaries money tonight. I wasn't here Sunday, so I put my offering in. I wanted to get it out of my hand, and I wanted to get into God's hands so the blessings could flow to me. So God saw, heard his prayers. Wow, isn't that powerful? He said, thy prayers and your giving, they'll come up for a memorial before God. Now here comes the direction. Do you imagine that this direction is associated in any way with his obedience to praying and to fasting? We find out later he fasted. And to giving, he prayed, he fasted, and he gave. When you pray, when you give, when you fast, don't let anybody know about it. The Father which seeth in secret, he shall reward you openly. The Father sees it. He knows. He understands. Isn't it beautiful how the Bible just fits together? Now, verse 5. Now, send to Joppa two men and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Look at these details. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. Isn't that beautiful? See, he knew, this angel knew exactly where Peter was. Did you know that God knows exactly where you are? God knows exactly where I am in my walk. God knows exactly every aspect of my life. He knows my flaws. and he still loves me. That's what I love about God so much. He sees my shortcomings. He sees my emotions. He understands everything about me. He understands more about me than I understand about myself. But he still loves me. Can we love people like that when we see their flaws? Can we have the heart of Jesus? Who had known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we do hold the thoughts and purposes and feelings of his heart. Do you feel when you see someone else broken? Or do you just do the religious thing? Or do you really feel the heart of God? If you feel the heart of God, I promise you one thing. If you have compassion, you will operate in spiritual gifts. If you don't, you will not. Faith operates by love. Faith operates in unity. Faith operates, hallelujah, when you have togetherness and you look at people and you say, I wish they weren't suffering through that. I wished I could do something. Well, I can. You can too. We can bring the power of God to them, the supernatural manifestations of the Spirit, because we cannot do it ourselves. But I read a little verse that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Aren't you glad to be a part of the body of Christ? So Cornelius, he sent his servant to Joppa to the house of Simon the Tanner. And when they got there, they found that God had spoken to Peter and God had given him a word of knowledge. God had given Peter a vision and he had told him not to call anything unclean that he had cleansed. Look at the people. He was looking at that man and says, he's a Gentile. Only the Jews can be saved. Do we look at people like that when they come into our church? That old drunk, that old alcoholic, that slut working the red light district? We know her. Oh, come on now. The Bible says such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified in the name of Jesus by the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad for God's amazing grace? I think this is a good place to take a praise break. Come on, let's stand and take a praise break. Such were some of you. But you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of God. I believe I could preach right there for a little while. Glory to God. We are called out, we're redeemed, we're washed in the blood, sanctified, holy, filled with God's power, filled with God's anointing, filled with God's glory, because the blood of Jesus has paid the price for us. Hallelujah. I think it's time the church get excited about what God is doing. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, God had given Peter a vision. He said, don't you call anything unclean that I have cleansed. And when these men got to Joppa, Peter was waiting. God had told him, go with these men, doubting nothing. Now, right there we see unity. Go with them. We see faith, doubting nothing. See love. God says, go with them. I got to work. I want to do. I told you the gifts of the Spirit, they swing on three hinges: love, unity, and faith. Right there, I was looking over my notes today, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, there it is: unity, faith, and love. Faith works by love. God told Peter, said, go with these men. Don't you doubt. He said, I've sent them. Peter had no way of knowing this except supernaturally by the word of knowledge. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord told Peter, said, I want you to go with them and do whatever they ask you to do. And Peter obeyed. Now, here's something else the Lord showed me today. There are so many people, they get a word of knowledge. They get a word of wisdom. They get a word from the Lord. I'll guarantee you one thing. If these people had not all flowed together in unity, in faith, and in love, this would not be in the Bible. God can give you a word. He can tell you this is going to happen in your life. And you can disobey God, and you can abort the whole thing. You can show a wrong attitude, and you'll abort the whole thing. You can show discord to the body of Christ, and I promise you something, it will not work, because faith works by love. You have to flow and be led by the Spirit when gifts like this start functioning. When somebody gives you a word and speaks, says, God is going to do this and you're going to have this and you're going to have that, you can abort the whole thing. I prayed over this church. I said, God, thou prophecy spoken over this church. And God, I don't want to miss my day. People have missed it. A lot of people have come and gone. But this church has never done what it should do. I say it again. This church has never done what this church should do. This church has never done what the words of prophecy. Don't get mad with me. Just look around you. This church has never done what the prophecies that have been spoken said would happen here. Now, we've got a good church. We're a strong church. But for this church to do what this church should do, somebody's going to have to teach the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to have to flow in unity, faith, and love, and we're going to have to become one in Christ. And when we become one like that, the gifts will flow, and God will do what God wants to do. And if you've wronged somebody, and if you got a somebody did me wrong song, go apologize to them. Get that thing out of your life, because you're not only affecting your life, you're affecting what God wants to do in his body called the church. One member suffers, the whole body suffers. So let's get this thing straight and get together in unity, faith, and love. Somebody go and praise God, because I'm preaching good right now. Hallelujah. God sent me on an assignment. I did not come to play. I come to do what God sent me to do. I'm not here to earn a salary. I am here to do what God sent me to do. Thank you for your salaries that you pay to me. Thank you for the giving. I appreciate that. Everybody's got needs. But, you know, I am on an assignment. And I said, God, I do not want to miss my day. Because if I don't miss my day, guess what? The next generation won't miss their day. If I miss my day, they're going to miss their day. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If we miss our day, church, God has put us together. He's called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. There are people that are waiting on us. They are waiting on the power of God to flow through us. They are waiting on the anointing of God, because God has chosen a church to take his message to the world. And it's time to quit playing church, to get full of God, to get full of the Holy Ghost, to get full of the knowledge of God, and operate in the gifts so God can explode on this community. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the Lord told Peter, go with him. So here we have two examples of the word of knowledge functioning through these people. The angels, people. See, these men knew facts from God they could never know otherwise. Cornelius knew from an angel. Peter knew when the Lord spoke to him. So when Peter got down to Cornelius' house, there were a house full of people waiting to hear the word of God. I mean, it was a setup. God set it all up. And if anybody missed any link in obedience, they would have aborted the entire thing. Watch the gifts. That's how they operate. As Peter began to preach the word of God, he told them how God had raised Jesus from the dead. He told them that anyone who believed in Jesus would receive eternal life. Now, look at Acts 10:44. I love this. Because here's some people that want to be saved, yet they're not saved. But they got some want to. Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. So they got saved hearing the word. You can't get the Holy Ghost until you're saved. You'd explode if you got all that power in you before you got saved and got eternal life in you. While Peter yet spake the words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they which were the circumcised, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many came with Peter, because on the Gentiles, as you and me, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know they got the Holy Ghost? Said, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Isn't that beautiful? That's the biblical pattern right there. I'll show you the difference in a moment. We got people said, oh, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, let me show you the difference. So if you get the real deal, let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost baptism in the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the initial evidence that you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. My other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, they can argue all they want to. That's all right. They're arguing against God. They're not arguing against me. This is the biblical pattern, Pentecost. Speaking in tongues, it is the biblical pattern, and anything less is not the baptism in the Holy Ghost. The baptism in the Holy Ghost, by the way, this whole series, it is the gateway in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost. Well, somebody told me, said, the gifts of tongues and interpretation is the lesser gifts. I said, there are no lesser gifts. they all flow together like links in a chain. If you ever get to operating in them and you'll analyze it, and you, some of you operate and you don't realize it. That's why I'm trying to teach these things. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. You have gifts operating in you, and some of these manifestation gifts have operated through you, and you never understood and realized what God was doing. That's why knowledge is power, and these definitions are so powerful. But the gifts operate like links in a chain. You can move from a revelational gift to a power gift to an inspirational gift and back and forth and flow, and then boom, there comes the manifestation. God uses whatever God wants to use. He used a donkey to speak to one man. Used a jackass to speak to a rooster to speak to another man, spoke to another man through a worm. I said, well, God, if you can speak through those things, I imagine you can speak through me. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't you love the word? When Peter got to Cornelius' house, he preached to them, and they got the fullness of the Spirit. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now, when you get saved, you get the witness of the Spirit. But when you get the baptism, you will speak in tongues just like they did in the Bible. Now, put Romans 8:16 up there. This is when you get saved. No saved person, that's not a saved person that does not have the Holy Ghost. See, I was taught wrong when I grew up. I was taught that the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians didn't have the Holy Ghost. Well, they did. That is right there. Well, read it to me. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So when you got saved, you had the witness of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. You knew that you were saved. There was no one that could tell you you're not saved. But you didn't get the baptism in the Holy Ghost. If we went to Acts 2, it says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one place and one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, spake with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. But let's go back and look at what we just read and see what it says there. Look at Acts 10, 44, 45, and 46. Look at that again. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. So these people have been saved, but they're not baptized until. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished as many as came, because on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So these people got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. How did they know they got the same gift that they got? They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So when people start discounting tongues, they're discounting the work of God. They're discounting what the Word has already decreed and declared. They're discounting themselves and others because they cannot function and flow until they open up to what God has. If you find tongues a stigma, then get over it, praise God, because when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues like this. Glory to God. Now, how can you do that? Because I'm full. People say, you can't pray in tongues. Well, what about this one? Put Jude 24 up there. Beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How can you pray in the Holy Ghost if you don't hear the Holy Ghost? I hear him whether my mouth is open or whether my mind is just sitting there. I just hear him. Hallelujah. And when I'm praying for the sick, I just turn him loose because the Spirit makes intercession. Praying the will of God. So just get into the book, flow with the book, and praise God. You'll be such a blessing to others. It'll astound you. Amen. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say is when you get it, you get it. And you don't get it before you get it either. Then you get it when you get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. The Spirit lets you know, hey, I have arrived in fullness and in power. And you can get the gift and then you can just drift back if you want to. Or you can seek him and search for him and get more of him. If you will notice the Bible, if you go read, they were filled on Acts chapter 2. They were filled in Acts 4 again. They were filled again and again and again and again. So Paul said concerning spiritual gifts to those at Ephesus, he said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled and filled. Put Ephesians 5:18 up there. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled and filled and filled and filled. I'm not a Greek student, but I guarantee you that word is in the continual modem. Continually, constantly filled with the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Does that mean drink wine? I don't think so. I think it means drink the new wine of the Holy Ghost. Just keep getting full of Him. Go down to Joel's place at 228th Street. This is that which Joel the prophet spoke of. Hallelujah. So get filled. Let me move on. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, the Holy Ghost gives you a gift so you can bless others. But you don't get that gift until it's manifest in your life. He manifests them. That's the way all the gifts work. It's the manifestations of the Spirit that prove that you have the real thing. You got the real deal. Hallelujah. It was the gift of the word of knowledge which assured Peter that he was to go to Cornelius' house at Caesarea. And because the gift operated, the whole Gentile world came to know the gospel. And you and I are sitting in church tonight because of the gift of the word of knowledge and how God worked in Peter's life and others. Isn't that beautiful? The gifts of the Spirit are powerful. They will move a whole nation. God wants people who have been divinely changed to do His work. And He wants to operate His supernatural gifts through them. Let me give you one last New Testament example, and I'll stop. Pastor Rick, if you want to come to the music, please. This is the word of knowledge. This was the gift of the word of knowledge that the Holy Ghost directed to Paul to continue preaching in the city of Corinth. Now, see, we read the Bible. We don't see these gifts until we analyze it and begin. If you take these definitions, I guarantee you'll find them. I did. Acts 18:9. Then spake the Lord to Paul. Here it comes. Here's another vision. They come by dreams. They come by visions. They come by an angel can speak to you. They come many ways. Then spake the Lord to Paul in a night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. What an amazing revelation that God gives to Paul through the gift of the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is when God supernaturally gives you knowledge of something that exists. You don't hear it any other way. You hear it from God. God spoke to Paul in a vision that he had many believers in that city and that Paul would be safe there. That'll take fear out of your heart, won't it? I know when I got saved, God spoke to me. He said, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will anoint thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear left my heart. I've never known it to this moment. I knew God had called me. I knew God was with me. I knew God would work through me. He'll work through anyone that will yield their lives to Him. Amen? See, Paul didn't know this by talking to the people that were there. He was supernaturally imparted the word of knowledge to him. No one is going to harm you. Look at Acts 18:11. He continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And as a result of this gift right here, the people, they received two great epistles, and we have them today, 1 and 2 Corinthians in our Bible, and they later became a part of the New Testament. He stayed there and taught. Isn't that beautiful? He was assured by God, no one will hurt you. I've got many people in that city. Paul stayed because of the word of knowledge that he received from the Lord. Now, I hope you're beginning to see how the gifts operate, how they're important to the church. The gifts of the Spirit, they are for today. They are for the church. They are for all of us. And it's time that we learn and that we obey and we flow in the gifts. I want to give you this one verse because when I saw this years ago, it impacted my heart so much in my study of the gifts. In my study to be a better preacher, to be able to touch the hearts of people. God spoke to me. Acts 5:32. This pertains to you and me. And we are His witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. That means that over and over and over again, because of my flaws and my shortcomings, I have to go back to the Master. And like David, I have to say, search me, O God. Try me.
See if there be any wicked way in me. God, I don't want it. Please remove it, Lord. And lead me in the way everlasting. I want to touch people with your presence, with your power, with your glory and your anointing. God, I want to see people transformed by the way you transformed my life. I want to see people, Lord, that were broken and fragmented and suffering, the dying, the crying, the sighing. I want to see them, Lord, get great miracles from you. I want to see people, God, whose dreams have been shattered, who have never reached their full potential. I want to see them become all you have a purpose for them to be. So, God, if you will touch me, if you will instruct me, if I can just know the thoughts and feelings and purposes of your heart, then I'll be able to reach out and touch others. All the gifts, they flow out of a person through the Holy Ghost. And as we move in faith and obedience, we're God's witnesses. The Holy Ghost will give witness to the Word of God. The Holy Ghost will give witness to the gifts of the Spirit. And we will see wonderful, wonderful things happen in our midst. So let's learn as a church. This is my plea. Let's flow together in unity, in faith, and in love. And if we'll do that, we will flow together as the church that Jesus called us to be. Let us stand. Pastor
Holy Richard. Spirit, thou art welcoming this place.
Put your hand over your heart. Holy, I welcome Spirit, you in this place, my temple.
Thou art welcoming this place. Amen.